I was the only person that had an official role as a business analyst. But as we know, business analysis can be performed by multiple different roles. There was people when I got into the organization that I was like, oh, you're doing actually business analysis work. It's just you don't have the BA title. The team lead was kind of, we've been screaming for a business analyst for a while now, so we're glad that you're here on board. And then they loved that I knew just the right kind of technical terms that I could work with them. So,
welcome to the Inside Business Analysis Podcast. I'm your host, Tanner Jacobs, and today I am joined with James Dean. James, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Tando. How are you?
I'm very well, James. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. I'm excited for our conversation, and as someone who's from Ireland, I believe, it's going to be such a cool chat with you. So, James, for those who haven't come across you kind of in the past or before, you're somebody who has a decent amount of experience, should we say, in business analysis. And also you have an exciting hat that you wear at the IIBA, where you are the president of the Ireland chapter, which is so cool. And in your career, one of the things, obviously we've spoken offline about this, that one of the things that's quite prominent in your career is that you've kind of been the only BA on teams and on projects and sometimes even in organizations. And I thought, actually, you'd be a great person to have a conversation with around how do we navigate that world when we are the solo BA. And so could you maybe just start off kind of giving us a bit more color into what your background is like and the kinds of things that you've found yourselves in as a solo BA?
Yeah, sure, no problem. First of all, thanks so much, Tando, for giving me the opportunity to be here. I always loved speaking to different BAs or even different people just to share experiences and knowledge. So a solo BA, I'm really excited to talk about that topic because it's been a challenge, I would say. A bit about myself. So I've been a BA for 7 years. I'm based in Dublin in Ireland. So I actually started as a system analyst and developer when I graduated from college, and I started in the corporate business registry domain. So I was there about probably 6 months. I actually wanted to be a database administrator to look at like Oracle or SQL kind of databases, but I found there wasn't really much of a career progression. So I landed in the system analyst developer role. Even though I didn't want to be a developer, I had no ambition. I didn't like programming. All the kind of coding language was just very over my head. I could read code and understand what the problem was, but I could never write code to fix the problem. So that was my problem. Anyway, 6 months in, I was put as a business analyst on a project. Now at the time, I had no idea what a business analyst was. I had no idea what they had to do, what their role was on the project, but I was being mentored by a senior business analyst. So I was there 6 months, and then 6 months later, I actually became the lead BA on the project. So I was kind of thrown into it and just kind of fend for yourself. I always like a challenge. So I was kind of like, how do I actually navigate through this kind of, I suppose, stress environment, but also keep my cool and my patience. So I started looking up more kind of resources just to help me to kind of navigate that space and the business analysis space. And I came across IIBA. I found the entry-level certificate, business analysis. So I started studying for that. I got my certification. So then I was kind of more familiar with the Babak guide and the different kind of terminology, stakeholders, techniques that we could use. Not that I was using them, all of them at the time, but I had a familiarity of them and different kind of concepts, the underlying competencies, all that kind of stuff. So I stayed there for about 3 years. And then I wanted a new challenge. I wanted something different, something completely outside the corporate and business registry domain. So I went into life sciences. And when I was there, a whole new kind of kettle of fish. But what I learned from my first job was that I kind of built up this like knowledge share or this toolkit that I was able to comfortably go to the life sciences industry and use my skills and apply my knowledge to different kind of scenarios that I would work on. Now, completely different scenarios, but I had that confidence to keep going. So then that made me want to go further. And now I'm currently working in energy. So I'm in the energy industry. And I'm currently in the energy industry for the last 2 years. And that's where I started my solo BA career.
Wow. Wow. That is incredible, man. So you're basically jumping industries, which is one thing I love about being a BA as well. What is life sciences? I've seen that many times, but I've never actually looked into it, that type of industry. So when you say life sciences, what does that entail?
It's not pharmaceutical, which I kind of got tripped up at the start. It's more about laboratory processes and how they go about testing different kind of samples. So what is the whole end-to-end process, and then what kind of applications or systems do they use, and then how do they use those to actually perform their different kind of tests that they would for different samples? Like if they're testing chocolate or if they're testing like a soil sample, they need to go through a number of sequence processes, and they use different systems. And then at the end, they might like say use a system to print out a report label, but all of those different things. It was a very complex environment, I have to say, because the team that I was on, the application sat in the middle of like 6 or 7 different applications. So when you had like a new kind of problem to solve or a new kind of request or enhancement, you not only needed to understand the impact of what it was on your team application, but all of the different ones that it interacts with. So it was, I would say it was fun and games. it was interesting though, a very interesting environment and industry to learn about.
Yeah. Sounds like a cool place. Sounds like a cool place to be. So you mentioned that the energy company is kind of where you fully fledged, were thrown into the deep end as a solo business analyst. Mm-hmm. And when we say solo BA here, just for clarity, are we saying you were the only business analyst in the company or in the department or on a specific project?
So I was the only person that had an official role as a business analyst. But as we know, business analysis can be performed by multiple different roles, like product owners, product managers, system architects, solution architects, all those different kind of roles. That there was people when I got into the organization that I was like, oh, you're doing actually business analysis work. It's just you don't have the BA title. So it was, to me, coming into the company when I was first coming in, it was like, what is the main kind of responsibility that you want this official business analyst to solve? And it was to get more clear requirements so that they could make sure that the team had enough information and that we could develop the right solution to solve the problem. So that was kind of my initial role when I came in.
Got you. Makes sense. Yeah. And so, what was that like when you found out then that you were being brought in as the first official business analyst onto the company? I mean, that for some people might be like, yeah, that sounds an exciting challenge. Other people were like, that sounds super scary. I'm not doing that. You know, where were you on that spectrum?
Oh, definitely. Totally scared. I love a challenge and I love taking new like risks and kind of throwing myself in the deep end. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, you always have that kind of imposter syndrome or you doubt yourself. But I looked back, I basically had to take a step back and do my own kind of self-reflection and be like, James, you've worked in 2 different industries already. You have the skill set, you have the knowledge, you have the experience. They're not looking for like a person that has 15 or 20 years experience to be able to do all of this. You're going in and you've basically sold to them in the interview, this is what I can do. So it's kind of like, it's already been put to you that you can do the role, you know, otherwise you wouldn't get hired, right? Now, getting the role and doing the role is completely different. So even going in, I was like, okay, I don't have any kind of other official business analyst to kind of feed ideas off or to check kind of requirements or to ask questions. But I'm always trying to see how I can adapt my approach. So I'm like, okay, I don't have a business analyst, but I do have a business analyst community. So outside of work, I was like, I have the IOBA community. I have different BAs that I network with. I have different people that I kind of communicate with on LinkedIn. So we have like such a great community where we can share experiences, knowledge, ideas, even problems that we're looking to solve. So I knew there was support there, and I wasn't completely on my own, although I was working on my own within the organization. And then as you start working as a solo VA, you're learning the different people that work there. You're learning about the business. You're learning about the systems, the processes, and you're building that relationship with the people that you work with. So you can ask those questions to those people. And I would say, like, don't ever feel that you can't ask a question or that there's a silly question or, I should know this because, let's say you're working there 2 years. You should never have that kind of attitude, because if you do, you're going to end up just taking kind of what the person says and using that to create your requirements. And that's not what business analysts do. We're supposed to be like asking the right questions to the right people at the right time to get the right information to do our analysis and then define the requirements. So that's what we're trying to do. So I would say although I was the only official business analyst with that title, I had a lot of support from outside and eventually within the organization as I got to know kind of different people.
Yeah. And a couple of things you touched on there. I think the first one I definitely want to point out is how powerful it is to work with people who, fair enough, they didn't have the job title business analyst, but they understand the concepts of business analysis, because it actually helps you to hit the ground running much faster, doesn't it? You don't have to then explain what's a process model, what's a requirement document and all these things. You kind of say, right, fair enough, I'm taking this on officially. It's now officially kind of I'm the one who's held responsible for delivering these things on this work. But the team already understand like these things. So if I'm presenting them to them, you know, that makes my role easy. And that probably put you at a little bit of ease without having to feel like you're being brought in as a BA and nobody even understands or knows what business analysis is, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the team lead was kind of, we've been screaming for a business analyst for a while now. So we're glad that you're here on board. And then they loved that I knew just the right kind of technical terms that I could work with them. So I always say, like, you don't need to be too technical as a VA, but if you have a good understanding of, like, say, the database or even like APIs or even being able to query data within a database, it makes it so much easier to be able to do additional things on top of your role to help the team. So my first approach was like going in, and we were using like an agile environment. So we were using user stories and features, and I was told kind of like, oh, kind of what would be your approach to work with the team? And I said, well, I need to see what way the team works first, because there's no point me taking what I did in the life sciences industry and saying, right, we're going to do it this way, because that's not how it's going to build up like a good kind of relationship with the team. And it probably won't fit the team culture. So I kind of spent some time talking to different team members to say, okay, this is how you work and what do you expect from me? Like, kind of, because sometimes you need to provide more kind of details in terms of requirements. Sometimes if you're working with a senior developer, they're like, oh, you don't need to tell me that, that's fine. But then the QA is like, oh no, but I do need to know that to test. So you're trying to find like a middle ground to find a common ground between everyone, that they have the right information. So that was my kind of goal when I first went in, start working, looking at the team and the different processes to see, okay, when we're using user stories, what kind of format are we using? And when we're using features, like how are we defining our business requirements? How are we identifying our stakeholders? All those different things. And then eventually I found where kind of improvements could be made within the team, but also the organization or different kind of processes.
Yeah, gotcha. So effectively what you're saying there is if you're a solo business analyst, to be fair, this applies even if you're not, but if you're a solo business analyst for definite, first understand the lay of the land, what everyone's doing, what the cadence of the team has been prior to you coming in, and then figure out what's the best approach to business analysis that works for the team, and then understand, you know, from all the key players in the team, what do they need from you? What do they expect from you in order to move this forward? Are there any other kind of tips that you may share, especially looking back, you know, maybe when you first started, things that you probably weren't aware of, things that you may have done wrong, that looking back now after 2 years, you're like, oh yeah, I learned this the hard way. This would be my one tip to somebody in this position.
Yeah, I would say also try to make some sort of plan plan and prioritize your work constantly. Because when I was the solo business analyst, when I got my first, let's say, project or problem to solve, they liked the way I worked. And then I got two or three more projects at the same time. So I was used to kind of being across multiple projects, but in the sense, multiple in the sense of two at a time, because I could do 50-50 or I could do 100% commitment. When you throw another project, like three or four, into the mix, you're kind of like, whoa, it's very overwhelming. So I had to, again, kind of adapt my approach and see how I can plan it to, based on, because your role can change across the different projects, I needed to understand or clarify my role first and to make sure, okay, based off my role, this is my expectations. So then I can create my, let's say, deliverables list, put it into my plan, and then I can start looking at what do I need to do to meet that. Now that worked in some aspects, but when sometimes it was like, oh, you're going to be kind of, let's say, 20% on this project. 20% for me was hard to justify. What does that mean? Because if I'm, like, say, scheduling elicitation sessions with a group of stakeholders and we have a 3-hour workshop, I'm like, is that my 20% done? And now I'm like, oh, sorry, guys, I'm going to another project. Like, it just doesn't build a good relationship and a good rapport. So I was like, not really sure how this should work. So we eventually, I had to kind of guide people in the business to not only what a business analyst should do, but also how we should plan or effectively plan the time commitments. Because sometimes a business analyst's role is looked at, oh, we just document requirements. Document them and then hand them to the development team and away we go. And I mean, like, if our job was that easy, like, I'd have so much less stress and we'd be sucking diesel. But unfortunately, it's not. So it was constant trying to, especially being the official business analyst, trying to not overstep on people's toes, but also trying to work with them in the best way possible so that we could plan and guide the business analysis kind of aspect of the project and to see what parts they wanted to fit in. Because I was told, for example, oh, we want to get requirements for this project. And I always start from the start. So I'm like, okay, but what's the business need? You know, like, has that been defined? Like, the why or the problem or opportunity, has that actually been defined? The answer was no. Then I'm like, okay, well, we need the business requirements first. Then when we have that, have we identified who's impacted by this problem or opportunity or who needs to be involved? No. Okay, well, we need to do some stakeholder analysis and we need to identify our stakeholders because we need to understand, how do we define the scope? Because if the scope is not defined, or even if the scope is defined, we now need to work backwards and see, okay, based on the scope and my now stakeholder analysis, like, is there a gap? Is there someone I should be including? Or is there someone whose goals or expectations should be taken into consideration? So all of that is involved in the planning. So it was a lot of kind of guiding and kind of adapting to changes quickly. True.
Love that, man. Love that. So much that you shared there. And on the topic of, like, you know, you're the official BA now, people are coming to you saying, do this, do this, do this. You know, everything's now coming your way. I mean, first of all, great. That's great, because it shows that you're actually doing something right. You know, if people want to work with you, you're doing something right. So kudos to you for that success. But how do you, or how would you advise somebody in that position who is kind of being pulled left, right and center? And let's be honest, I probably wager that a good percentage of that is not related to business analysis. It might be other tasks. Mm-hmm. That aren't necessarily business analysis work. How do you, what advice would you have to handle that sort of situation, you know, and how do we successfully kind of say, demark that, kind of like, okay, this is what I'll take on, but that's not for me. I think you should, you know, give this to, say, another, whatever the job title is, because that's not technically, you know, what I'm able to do. Not because I don't want to, but just because I've got all of these other things that I do need to do, that I'm the only one who's going to be doing them. So how would you, what advice would you have for that?
Yeah, great question. I think for me, it's transparency and open communication are the two key things. So being transparent on, again, what your role is within the organization or within a project, And then if there are, like, let's say, conflicting priorities or multiple projects that you're being assigned at once, and it's, you just don't see that it's feasible, have that communication with your manager, your line manager, whoever you report to. A lot of the time when I started in the business, I was getting requests left, right, and center, Teams messages, emails, not phone calls, thankfully, but all from all different places, from different people. And it was because they had seen the way that I work, but also it had kind of been, oh, James has come in to kind of solve your problems. And I kind of was like, in a way, I have a little bit responsibility or a little bit kind of authority to say, I don't have authority to say what problems I can solve, but when I'm on your problem, I will help it. You know, I will look at a solution, I will do my analysis. But because so many people expected you to solve their problems, it just wasn't feasible. So I actually had to create this kind of process within one of the teams. They were our network operations center team. So they had, they basically monitor kind of different sites and the operations of different customers. So they do a lot of different processes. And I was kind of appointed as their point of contact for any, for kind of triaging their problems and prioritizing them, but making sure we're getting the right information and then looking at kind of proposed solution options that would solve the problem to then take it back to the development team and then triage with them. So I started that process with them, and we were going, I think it was on like a monthly basis we would meet. We would go through, okay, what are your top three problems? And then I would take that and focus on those. And then I would bring it back to the team and we would say, right, okay, this could be a quick win, or this would have to be planned for, I don't know, 4 weeks time, because it's going to take a bit more time to kind of analyze and develop. Do we have a tester kind of lined up? No. Okay. That's going to have to be parked. Oh, we're going to have to get another person in there and all that kind of stuff. So I would say by having that kind of, either by working with the actual stakeholder group to, again, be transparent in what you can do and what is out of your control, because we, as BAs, we kind of get assigned work. We're not saying, oh yeah, I'll take on that. Oh yeah, I'll take on that. I mean, I wish I could, but my manager wouldn't be happy. So I can't do that. But it's just, again, just being transparent with what you can and can't do, because that will help in so many situations. Unfortunately, don't think of it like it's not gonna, you're gonna break down that relationship with someone, because it's out of your hands. I mean, if it's been overpromised that you can solve their problems and then, let's say, priorities change, it needs to be a complete open dialogue of conversation between all stakeholders, that saying, oh, James, yeah, he was supposed to be on this project, but unfortunately, this other project has come in, it's taken priority, and then we need to work on this instead. So it's been agreed. It's kind of been agreed at a senior leadership level or a product roadmap level, and it's just been filtered down. But I would say do it in the nicest way possible. So don't just say, I'm not working on that. You know, like, approach it a different way. Just saying, unfortunately, I would love to work on you. I emphasize, I can see the problem. But as you're aware, we also have these other project priorities. Now, I'd be happy to discuss this with yourself and whoever, like your manager, and let's see kind of where we can fit it within the product roadmap. So that way you're giving them, like, it's not a definite no, but it's no for now.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a great breakdown there. And I think 100% on the fact that the conversation needs to be had, because if you don't, then they won't know. So good shout there. Another thing that you touched on earlier was around the fact that you were the only BA in your organization at the time, and for that 2-year period. But in that period, you also then leaned on kind of the BA network outside of your organization. Can you touch on that a little bit more in terms of why was that important to you, and what led you to do that, and what were some of the benefits of doing that as somebody who was a solo BA in your shoes?
Sorry, Tando, can you repeat that question? You just froze there for a few seconds.
Did I? Okay, no problem. Am I back? Are we good?
Yeah, you're back now, yeah.
Awesome. So earlier on you touched on networking, right, and building your network outside of your of your role as a solo VA. You kind of leaned on people outside your or your organization in the VA network. Can you touch on why do you think that's important, and what were the benefits that you got from doing that?
Okay, I think so. When I was a part of the IIBA community, I always loved networking and kind of reaching out to different people to learn from their experiences, to learn about, oh, let's say I've seen a LinkedIn post and they're talking about a particular technique and I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. Like, how did they go about actually doing that? So I would say, like, there's so much you can learn by just talking to another BA, by not even like by like virtual, but just communication, like via text, or if you eventually end up sharing kind of personal numbers or email. There's so much you can learn from different people. I've had conversations with people where they want to provide mentorship opportunities, and they wanted to see kind of how we could work together or do kind of an event together, because like you said, kind of at the start, it's all based on your experiences and your opinions. Like, what you say, it is not wrong. But some people feel like if they say something, they're going to be kind of ridiculed or kind of looked upon in a different light. And it should never be that. It should always be, we share our experiences, we share our knowledge, and we're doing it to create value, but also to help like aspiring or junior business analyst professionals, you know, by reaching out to them or by helping them in some shape or form. We're basically training the next generation of business analysts within the community. So there's so much you can learn, like skills you can learn, just different kind of forums or different groups, like IIBR Ireland's group. We're always looking to see how we can kind of increase awareness of business analysis, increase engagement within the community, and enhance the support for business analyst professionals. No matter if you're junior, aspiring, or a senior, or kind of experienced, we want to be able to provide that kind of guidance for everyone within the community, especially now with the kind of hot topic of the future of business analysis and what does it mean with like AI and big data and all this kind of key kind of trends coming into place. We want to be able to train the future of BAs, so that they can use, not only know how to apply a technique, but how they can apply themselves in different scenarios and different situations. It's also a great way to kind of share your success stories or share your kind of problems within a safe environment. So I know at the start when I was kind of looking into business analysis and the business analyst role, there's so many different kind of articles out there on LinkedIn, on the internet, and you have YouTube videos, you have different people saying different things, and it's very kind of like, whoa, it's a lot of information. But if you kind of just strip it back to the basics of kind of what you need to know, then it makes it easier to say, okay, yeah, I can actually do that role, or I know kind of where to start. So by having that network, it's just a support, to have that support and have that constant, like, you're not failing, you're doing a good job. I always say there's no such thing as perfect requirements. When I started as a business analyst, I always tried to be a perfectionist. I always tried to get everything right. I'm like, oh, does that make sense? Or does that? And it's like, the more you work through your career, it's more about working with people. It's never a business analyst sitting at their desk writing requirement documents and then that's it, job done. I mean, that would be a boring job, if I'm being honest. But it's how you communicate and collaborate with those different people. So by even learning how different people approach different situations or their perspectives on the likes of LinkedIn or different kind of community groups like BA Cube, that's another great one. You learn so much and you're constantly evolving and you're constantly continuously learning, which I think is so key to being a business analyst.
That's such a good point. Such a good point. Yeah, I agree. BA Cube is a great resource by Angela Wick. Definitely check that one out if you haven't. And there is so much to learn with business analysis. And there's so much to do regarding business analysis as a profession. And I think one of the powerful things that I found, James, with like reaching out to other BAs in network and stuff, is that, you know, you can watch all the YouTube videos and read all the articles and even buy the books and go through the books, but like all of them kind of understandably give you everything that you need to know, but there's almost still that interpretation that's required to say, right, what's going to actually fit with what I'm doing, what's going to work with what I'm doing, and typically I find as well that, like, with, for example, some of these textbooks, they write it from an ideal scenario. This is how you would approach it, and this is how you would do this activity or technique. But then you get to a situation where you're like, well, mine doesn't quite fit all the boxes that's mentioned here. So I'm not 100% sure if, you know, use cases would work, for example. And so that networking and leaning on somebody else really helps. And if you're a solo BA, then, you know, you kind of got nothing to lose by building up your network.
Absolutely. And I think it gives you the ability to, like, if you're like, so there's so many different techniques we can use as a business analysis profession. But I think a lot of people think we have to use one technique at a time, or in that situation, we can only use, like you said, use cases, or we can use context diagrams. But I've seen recently, and that's actually a course that I did at the start of the year, where you can do a combination of techniques. And oh my God, it's such an eye opener. Like, it's like, oh my God, I never knew I could do that, or was allowed to do that. Because I think as well, when you're going through your BA career journey, you might be afraid to do something wrong. Like if you, let's say, don't use the right terminology when you're creating a process flow diagram, or you don't use the right shapes. To me, if you're going for a business analyst awards where it has to be according to guidelines or policies, then I'm like, okay, yeah, it has to be that way. But when you're working as a BA, who cares if you don't use the right shape? As long as your stakeholders or the people on that call or that meeting or in the workshop understand what it is you're trying to do and it makes sense to them, that's the main thing. And that you're getting some sort of outcome at the end of the meeting, and that it's clear to everyone, there's a shared understanding. Like, to me, that's more important than, oh, did I use the right BPN symbol here, or did I use the right shape in this diagram here? Because to me, it's irrelevant.
I would agree. And 100%, man, I fell in that trap myself, and I had to get myself out of it and kind of say, this is really not important. In fact, I found out the hard way, because I spent a long time making this process model, like the most perfect process model you've ever seen. And I showed it to somebody, and literally they asked me to walk them through it. And in that moment, I realized that I've wasted my time here, because they don't even get it. You know, they don't get the process, never mind the notation stuff. So that's when I realized that I just need to create something that can speak for itself. Really, that's my goal now. I don't care how pretty or ugly it looks anymore. Obviously, you want to do it right, but that's really the goal there. When would the team, like, what are some of the signs that a team would have when they kind of need to be like, actually, yeah, we need to build the team business analysis, as opposed to having a single solo person, you know, managing all of this work? At what stage is that right to start to make that transition from solo BA to building a BA team?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I would say, personally, from working as a solo BA for nearly 2 years, the first point is, if there's multiple complex projects that the solo BA is being assigned, and there's clearly not enough bandwidth there or capacity to work across them, not necessarily we need another business analyst, like, let's say, official role title, but we do need someone who knows business analysis and can actually apply the skill set to that. Because I said it, like, multiple times when I've been assigned different kind of projects, that, hey, okay, we can't get another business analyst, but we do need someone who understands business analysis, not a technical person that will look at the solution and the system and all the kind of technical stuff, but someone that will actually kind of look at the business side of things. So make sure, okay, what is the actual business problem? What is the problem or opportunity we're trying to solve? How does that align back to the strategic goals of the organization? Because that's really key. Because if we can't understand that, then how do we know it's going to bring value? Who are the stakeholders? All of that, like, you know, the kind of strategic analysis stuff that needs to be defined at the start of a project. And if we don't have that person or a person who can do that skill set, then I would say that's one opportunity where we could start to build the BA team. Also, as the organization grows, we're getting more people. More people mean more processes. More processes mean maybe more products or systems. We do need to have that BA team to support the different, like, departments or stakeholder groups. So you could have, like, a particular, let's say, a dedicated business analyst to the network operations center team, but then also finance, they want their own, and also sales, and also this person. So if that's becoming, you're kind of like being pulled left, right, and center, that would be a real key opportunity for the business. And then in general, I would say, because a business analyst can be roped into kind of, let's say, developing new things for the business, like products or services, or the likes of in the energy industry, energy markets, like trying to see how we can get into a new energy market, they're also looking at supporting. So like business as usual tasks. So how do we fix this problem on our current system here? Oh, we have a problem with this process here. So it's like supports. It's like support versus new kind of stuff that we're trying to develop. If there is too much requests coming in from either support or from the new kind of development parts, then that would also be, I would say, a great opportunity to start building up the BA function. Because then you can start kind of contracting the BAs out to the different, either the problems or the teams or the different kind of products, but whatever the way that the organization is structured. So that you're then kind of sharing the workloads across the BA team rather than that poor one solo BA trying to figure out how do we do it all.
Yeah, of course. 100%. Yeah, that's good insight. A final question, James, for you is, looking back over the last 2 years of your experience as a solo BA on a project, what would you say have been some of the things that you've loved about this journey?
Ooh, I would say the first thing is the challenge, just the challenge itself. So because I've never worked as a solo BA before, that was a complete challenge to me. So I'm actually proud of myself for how I kind of handled that situation. Looking back from when I started, completely nervous. And I was like, oh, again, kind of like, can I do this? Like, was it really the right opportunity for me? Or should I have taken this leap? But now looking back, I'm like, no, it actually was. It was an amazing opportunity. The second thing I would say, working on complex projects. So within the energy industry, it's not just, I would say, normal kind of processes and systems. We're also looking at AI, machine learning, and I'm working with the data science team, for example. So trying to understand not only how do they work, but how do their processes feed into the end goal or the end outcome we're trying to deliver as a solution. And that has been really, really interesting. And just learning about energy in itself, because the energy industry is so so complex, but by taking that complexity and breaking it down into simple terms, like some of the feedback that I got when I was working on certain projects was like, I know you make it easy to understand, you know, because it would start from a technical, let's say a sentence, and I'd be given it. And then I'd be like, well, what's that mean? Like, how does that impact the business? And who is the stakeholder or stakeholders who are actually impacted? So by having that confidence to break down technical complexity has really been, I suppose, it excites me. because I'm like, oh, here's another technical problem. Like, I love getting in there and like, oh, how do we actually get back to the business result? And how does that actually impact the business? And then what's the value? And how do we measure success and all those kind of cool things? So that's, I'd say those are the two main key things I would say that has really been something that I've really enjoyed or loved as being a solo BA and working with different people as well. Different people, constantly learning different processes, different systems. By having those people and by creating a good relationship, like building that working relationship up, it allows you to then like seek answers to questions, even if they're not on your project in the future. Like I have a great relationship with the solution architects in the team, amongst other people. So I can kind of feed off them now if I'm like, oh, hey, we have a question about, I don't know, say there's a process called bidding. And I'm like, what way does it work in the UK? And then they could like, oh, yeah, it works this way. I'm like, right, I'm on like a US project. So I'm trying to figure out how does it work there or where the similarities are. So you're kind of doing like current state analysis, but you have that then the support of the different people that you've worked with by building those relationships.
Love that. And to your point, James, massive congrats to you for taking the leap and for delivering on the leap. I think it's these type of scenarios, you know, from your perspective, it's great. It's great for your CV as well. It's great for your experience. But for the team, it's great for them to also, appreciate, you know, business analysis. And you know, now I'm sure when you got the second BA in, you may have had an influence to say, all right, we need another person in. And then they brought somebody in. And if you turn around to them and say, we need a team of business analysts, because they've seen the value of business analysis through yourself, they'd be more than willing to invest in the profession of business analysis. And, you know, so kudos to you for not only making the leap, but delivering on the leap and kind of, you know, putting in the work. Thank you. Well done for that. So James, if anyone would love to connect with you and kind of, you know, pick your brain about our discussion today or the work that's going on in the IIBA Ireland chapter, I'm assuming LinkedIn is the best place for that.
Yeah. LinkedIn. Yeah. I'm always on, reach out to me on LinkedIn. We also have like a WhatsApp group within the Ireland chapter. If you want to join, I'll share that with Tando afterwards. But LinkedIn would be best to connect with myself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'll put the link to the IIBA chapter and to James's LinkedIn profile in the show notes. So what, click even go to them if you would like to do so. James, this has been such an insightful conversation. Thank you for coming on today and sharing with us your expertise as a solo business analyst. I really, really do appreciate it. If you could wrap up our conversation in like a couple of sentences, what is the key takeaway that you want our listeners to really get from this?
Okay. Thanks so much, Tando, for having me. It's been a really great opportunity to share my experience as a solo BA, but also just as a BA in general from my career experience. To sum it up quickly, I have a habit of talking too long, so I will try keep it short. I would say always diplomatically challenge solutions to ensure it meets the business needs. Speak up if you see something that doesn't seem right, because as a team, you know, we're building solutions to solve business problems. We're not building them to solve system problems. And as a BA, I think just don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask any questions, even if the project is halfway through. Always ask questions and ensure you're asking the right questions to the right people. So make sure you've done like some sort of analysis or some sort of kind of research before you jump into that call or that meeting, and you can ask the questions to the right person. If you don't understand what they've said, just say in a different way, rephrase, paraphrase, make sure that you're actively listening so that you're getting the right information from people.
Love that. Thank you so much, James. I really appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks so much, Tando.